a truly fascinating Ramban describing both the general prohibition of including chametz and sugar or honey in general korbanos, as well as the exception on Shavuos, where the shtei halachim, the two breads, were chametz, and there was honey included in the bikurim, which of course begins on Shavuos and has a status of a quasi-korban. There's obviously no shortage of imageries and symbolisms associated with both chametz and sweet sugar and honey, and hence their exclusion from korbanos at a moral level, yetzer hara, self-indulgence, arrogance, human intervention, naturalism, different stages of Jewish history. These have all been dealt with extensively by the Abarbanel, extensively by Hasidus in more modern times. Obviously, Rav Hirsch speaks about it. But this is a Ramban, which takes a more metaphysical, almost Kabbalistic view. It's not really Kabbalah. It's a little bit of Kabbalah. And I want to try to share, because a lot of times people don't get a full sense of the Ramban sweep, and we tend to skip over some of the Kabbalistic parts of the Ramban. This is a part which I think I sufficiently understand, and not entirely, but have enough of an understanding to speak about, and I think it's a little bit more accessible. The Ramban begins with the general background, why is chametz banned from a korban? And first there's a attempt to define chametz almost etymologically, because the word chametz sounds a lot like the word chometz, and the word chometz sounds like a word chometz in Tehillim. So the Ramban is trying to link together three different usages, three different employments of the term ches mem tzadik. The Ramban says that chametz reflects midas hadin. And I'll describe midas hadin's relevance in a second, because chametz sounds like chometz. Chometz is when something turns vinegary and sour and is left unattended. And there's that sense of midas hadin, of punishment and of something evolving not towards a favorable but towards a penal. There are consequences to the wine becoming vinegar. So chametz, because it sounds like chometz, and because perhaps Ramban doesn't say this, but because it happens when something is left unattended, it's left to leaven rather than being forced into this matzah quick baking context. So chametz represents midas hadin in the same way that it would be easier to identify midas hadin with vinegar or wine that's gone sour, because in the Gemara or even in the Pasuk in Parshas Naso, chometz yayin v'chometz shechar, describing whether Nazir can or can't drink it, talks about wine or beer that's gone sour. So soured beer and soured wine more directly reflects midas hadin and divine retribution, and therefore that same association with midas hadin is shared by chametz. Now, the Ramban says both of these stem from a pasuk in Tehillim, which David HaMelech asks Hashem in Perek Ayin Aleph, Elokai paltani mi'ad b'shayim, Rasha, save me, spare me from the hand of an evil person, mikaf me'avel u'mechametz, from the hand that will perform evil, me'avel, avel, u'mechametz. So what does that word mechametz mean? So the Ramban says, mechametz means someone who steals. And David HaMelech is asking that Hashem spare him or protect him from the hand of a thief. Now that makes sense in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Aleph. David HaMelech wants to be protected from the hand of a thief, the evil and menacing hand of a thief. Mikaf me'avel mechametz. But how do you link the theft imagery of mechametz in Tehillim Ayin Aleph to souring wine or bread that has become, or flour that has become bread? So here the Ramban writes as follows, because the wine has lost, its taste has been stolen from it. Its taste has been taken from it. And therefore they're not drunk or they're not enjoyed. So the word lechametz ultimately means to take something away. And it could be in a theft context where David HaMelech is afraid of a thief taking away his possessions or taking away his life. And it could be in the context of wine from whom taste has been stolen. And the Ramban quotes one other example. And this is taken from Tehillim Ayin Gimel.
David HaMelech is crying to Hashem, and he says, Ki yischametz livavi, my heart becomes chametz. V'chil yosai eshtonan, and he's referring to his kidneys. So the Ramban says that David HaMelech is sad, or more direct, he's angry. And when you're angry, the Ramban writes, Yichos v'ovad tamo mimenu. When you're angry, you lose your ration, you lose your identity. Chazal say, Kol HaKoyes Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah, because you've lost the ability to think rationally, to act calmly, to see yourself as in the presence of Hashem. So your ration, your sanity, has been stolen from you. So Yischametz Levavi means your equilibrium, your mental equilibrium, your emotional balance has been taken when you're angry. And David HaMelech's angry at what has befallen him. And it can mean stealing something of value or life. And David HaMelech in Ayin Aleph is afraid of the Kaf Ma'avel Mechametz, and it could be stealing the natural taste of wine. The Ramban doesn't describe this, but presumably chametz, because of the process of becoming chametz, and especially if it's assisted by chemicals in some contexts, as it normally is, normally when you create chametz, it's at the very least introduced by juice and other fermenters. So the natural taste of the bread has been taken. So it becomes chametz because that's not as natural a taste of the flour. Matzah would be the most natural way to experience the taste of flour. So before the Ramban describes the application of why chametz is usher for a carbon and white dvash is usher, it's just a fascinating etymological process of linking together four different uses of chametz. Chametz for bread, chometz is vinegar for wine and beer, mikaf me'avel mechametz for the thief that David HaMelech fears, and yis chametz levavi for a heart from whom its sanity and its emotional equilibrium has been taken. In any event, this whole combination of souring and of something being taken from you symbolizes Midas HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacting retribution, as we would call consequence. There's consequence in this world, cause and effect. And that's why it can't be included in the Karban, because the Karban is meant to pacify and assuage guilt, and we don't want to highlight the cause and effect nature and consequences, because we're trying to avoid consequences. Karbanos are trying to atone and avoid the punishment and the penalty that would be natural. Then the Ramban says, the same token, we can't include sweet honey or sugar in a karban, because that would represent midas harachamim, everything being sweetened artificially. And this world, and this is really the metaphysical, Kabbalistic punchline of the Ramban, bebriyas ha'olam shiteif midas harachamim and midas hadin. This world is a careful balancing of a Kodesh Baruch Hu between Midas Hadin, cause and effect, consequence, and Midas Harachamim, mercy, compassion, clemency. And the world has to be very carefully balanced between the two. And therefore, we can't include an element that symbolizes Midas Hadin, and we can't include an element that symbolizes only Midas Harachamim. So either of these substances are banned. Our world is a world of cause and effect, and that's the world of science and nature that we rely on. We rely on being able to predict and organize our world rather than living in a random world of happenstance and unpredictability. We wouldn't be able to live and to create and to solidify our experience. We'd be victims to a world that was scary and frightening. On the other hand, we don't want the world to be absolutely cause and effect and based on consequence, because then every time we'd sin and we'd fail as a human being, Hashem would exact the retribution, because the consequence, the effect of a sin, is responsibility and accountability. So Hashem created this world. It's a very delicate balance between the two, and introducing either of these two polar ingredients would disrupt or would ruin that balance. So an element that represents Midas Hadin is eliminated, Chametz, and an element that represents Midas Harachamim is eliminated, namely Dvash. So our Korbanos are right at that middle pH, as we would call it, to use a mixed metaphor. It's not acidic, it's not base, it's right in the middle, it's right on number 7, and it reflects this very delicate modulation and calibration of a world, again, as the Medr says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created by being Meshatev, Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim. So this is the Ramban's explanation of why Karban cannot include sweet and cannot include Chametz. Now, the most notable exception, at least the Chametz, is a Karban Todah. Some of the chalos which were offered with the Karban Todah were chametz. Now the Ramban doesn't really tell us why a carbon toda can include chametz. He rather implies that there's something very unique about carbon toda, and very unique in a carbon toda's ability to ignore, so to speak, this balance that must be maintained in our current world that eliminates both chametz and dvash from a carbon. And his raya, his proof, is a medrash. The medrash says that le'asid lavo, in this other world will enter, all the karbanos will be eliminated, aside from toda. If we follow through, and the Ramban tries to follow through, a toda includes chametz, a toda does not include dvash, a toda includes chametz, and includes matzah as well, and the next world will be a world of perfection, of human perfection, and that element of midas harachamim may not be as necessary. So a toda, which includes chametz, is perfectly compatible with a world in which we don't have to be embarrassed or concealed about introducing elements which symbolize midas hadin. So the fact that there is a karban which highlights chametz, which symbolizes midas hadin, which will be compatible with olam haba, is structurally sound. What the Ramban does not describe is why is the carbon toda chosen? Why is somehow the experience of thanking Hashem the type of experience that doesn't have to be attendant or sensitive to this modulation between midas hadin and midas harachamim? It can highlight midas hadin when we thank Hashem. This is me talking now. I'm thinking out loud. Possibly when we thank Hashem and express our gratitude, it's a game changer, and gratitude is the type of trait that creates a world, or that lives in a world of cause and effect, because it's so acknowledging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention that even when we fail and we commit a chet, we still see Hashem so clearly through Toda, through Shira, and therefore we deserve Hashem's protection because of our gratitude. As the Chavos HaLevavos, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Ramban's Talmud speaks about gratitude as the core seminal trait of Avodas Hashem. Somehow, so we don't have to wait for Olam Haba to bring a carbon toda. We can even bring a carbon toda within the very delicate calibration of Olam Hazeh and introduce chametz, which is too abrasive and too strident for other korbanos, but we have the umbrella of a carbon toda that allows us to dream of a day in which Midas Adin will reign and won't have to be tempered by Midas Arachim, because people will rise to that perfection and live in a world in which cause and effect will support human experience. And the Ramban doesn't flesh this out other than the fact that carbon toda highlighting chametz will sustain itself even in Olam Haba, in which the introduction of chametz is feasible. And then the final part of this Ramban is, and why do we allow chametz, and interestingly enough, not just chametz, but dvash on Shavuos. So, because he starts with the fact that Shavuos has an element of todah to it, like a carbon todah, because we're thanking Hashem for the successful harvest, and it's at the point in which the harvest is Chag HaKatzir, has been actually collected, and not collected into the house, it's Chag HaSif on Sukkot, but at least harvested. But then the Ramban introduces an interesting phrase, and he leaves us ambiguous. Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah, Yavi HaKarban Bedin Toda. The Karban on Shavuos can be similar to a Toda, namely it can include Chametz, and of course the Shtei Alechem or Chametz, Ki Hu Yom Atzeres V'Hamaskil Yavin. Whenever the Ramban alludes to something metaphysical, Kabbalistic, beyond rational, empirical thought, he says HaMaskil Yavin. There really are two ways that present in this Ramban. One way is, there's another reason that the Korbanos of Shavuos are like a Toda. We're not just thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the successful harvest, but we're thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for delivering Torah. And once it has the profile of a carbon toda, it can include chametz like a carbon toda can, for whatever reason. The Ramban leaves unspecified perhaps some of the ideas I expressed. A different way to read this Ramban, in a much more provocative way, and it's hard to know, is that it only takes the shape of a toda, namely it can include chametz, but not because it's thanking Hashem, but because Torah is that experience that blends chesed and din in a way that reflects a reality that our world is foreign to. Our world has to be carefully balanced on the pH of 7. We have to ignore overt references to din,
and ignore or eliminate overt references to rachamim. So we can't have chametz, which implies din, and we can't have sweet sugar and honey, which suggests mercy and compassion. It has to be that middle, almost, not bland, but middle calibrated point, which doesn't speak of either. But on Shavuos, because Torah is everything, and because Torah is the integration of everything, we can introduce these polarities of chametz and dvash and din and chesed, and someone who studies Torah and accepts Torah and aspires to the lifestyle of Torah, that's the ultimate integration of chesed and din. Human experience is a fail. It can't exist because human experience will not always maintain the expected levels of Torah. But immersing yourself in the Torah and its expectations is a harmonization and a resolution between din and chesed. And that's why on Shavuos, the two can be blended in a way that Korban Torah doesn't. Because keep in mind, the Korban Torah did not include honey and did not include sugar. It only included chametz. So it's a highlighting and a punctuation of Midas Hadin. And that's why it's appropriate only for Olam Haba and as a promo in Olam Hazeh, maybe. But for Torah, Torah has that ability to integrate both the expectations and cause and effect, as well as the Kodesh Baruch Hu's rachamim, because Torah is based on Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed as a moral force in this world, and if we engage in Torah, the two become almost indiscernible. That's why in Torah there's an interchange between Hashem and Elohim, and these phrases are always flipping, and that's why in Shavuos we cannot just allow chametz in the way that a Torah does, but we can even allow the Bikurim to include divash and sweet elements, which are brought close to the Mizbeach and are considered a quasi-karban. It's a very, very provocative an important Ramban, obviously, because it speaks of areas of Kabbalah we don't often involve ourselves with. We can only describe the framework, obviously, of what the Ramban is interested in conveying.